Court of France. My name is Tony Miano. I'm from Faith Community Church up in Santa Clarita. I'm here with the prayerful support of my pastor and my elders, here to bring to you the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one who was with the Father in creation. All things were created by Him and through Him and for Him. There's no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved. He is the Creator. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Judge of the universe. He is the one before whom you will one day stand to give an account for your life. He is God. He came and He took on the form of human flesh while remaining fully God and fully man and without sin. He lived a perfect, sinless life that we cannot live. And He voluntarily went to the cross. He suffered and died a horrific, bloody death He did not deserve to take upon Himself, the punishment we rightly deserve for our sins against God. And then 3 days later, He forever defeated sin and death when He rose from the grave. What God commands of you and me and all people everywhere is that we repent, that we turn from our sin, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. For Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." No one can save you but Jesus Christ. No one can forgive you of your sin but Jesus Christ. You can't forgive yourself. You can't pay the penalty you owe to God for your sin against God. Going through 12 steps or turning over a new leaf or anything like that will not make you right with God. It will not erase your sin. The Word of God says that there is forgiveness of sin only through the shedding of blood. And the blood of only one was satisfactory to God Almighty to cover sin, and that was the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to begin this morning by reading Psalm 146. God's Word tells us this: "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth, and that very day his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked He brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord." The Word of God. Verse 3 in this chapter says, "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation." Sadly, millions upon millions of people today do just that. They put their trust in men for their salvation. They put their trust in men for their forgiveness. They put their trust in men to make them right with God. But the Word of God makes it clear, do not do that. Do not trust princes in sons of men in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth, and on that very day, his plans perish. More than a billion people put their trust in a man for their salvation, and they call him the Pope. They believe that the Pope is sinless, that the Pope is God's holy see on earth, and they put their trust in a man. Every single pope who ever led the Catholic Church has died and was buried and turned to dust. And his plans ended the day that he died. But yet a billion people put their trust in a man. Almost a billion people put their trust in a man named Muhammad, who worships the demonic god of Islam. They put their trust in a man who died, a man who became dust, a man who stood before God to give an account for his life. The Word of God says, do not put your trust in men, in whom there is no salvation. There is no salvation in the Pope. There is no salvation in Muhammad. There is no salvation in Joseph Smith, the false prophet of Mormonism. There's no salvation in Charles Taze Russell, the false prophet of the Jehovah's Witnesses. There's no salvation in man. And that includes you. That includes me. There's no salvation in us, meaning we cannot save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. Our good works mean nothing to God. In fact, the Word of God says anything that we do not do by faith, is sin. You can help a little old lady across the street today, and if you do that apart from faith in Jesus Christ, God sees that as a sin. You can work in a soup kitchen today, and if you do that for any other reason than to bring glory to Jesus Christ, God sees your service in that soup kitchen as a sin. You can go to Africa and help people have clean water and work in orphanages and hospitals. And if you do those things for any other reason than to bring glory to Jesus Christ through faith in Him, God sees all of that as sin. God sees the five pillars of Islam as sin, as idolatry. God sees the map of the Roman Catholic Church as sin, as idolatry. No man can save you. No man who merely dies and becomes dust can save you. There is salvation. There is no salvation in religion, my friends. There is salvation in God alone. There is no salvation in any of the isms of the world today. Salvation is in Christ alone. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Put your trust in the only one who can save you, the only God who is alive. The gods of all of these other religions are merely demonic forces. They are merely workers of Satan that dress themselves up as angels of light. The only one who can save you is Jesus Christ, and Him alone, who was fully man, but at the same time fully God, who did experience physical death, but the grave could not hold Him. He rose again 3 days later, and He is alive today. And He will return at a time of the Father's choosing. Trust Him. Trust the one who has defeated sin and death. Trust the one who rose from the grave. Trust the one who will judge every demonic force in this world that puts itself off as a religion representing God. Trust Him. Trust Christ. The Word of God says, the Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves righteousness. The Lord sets prisoners free. And if you are trapped in a religion, in any kind of ism, and make no mistake, atheism is a religion, and the god of atheism is the god of self, know that you are a prisoner if you practice those religions. You are a slave to sin. You're a slave to sin. Many people think that they are free to worship any way they want to. Many people think that they're free to determine who God is and how He will be honored. But anybody who thinks that way is not free. They are a slave to that religious system. Freedom can only be found in Jesus Christ, for the Lord is the one who sets prisoners free. And the Lord opens the eyes to the blind. The natural man cannot understand that which is spiritual, for these things are spiritually appraised. That's what the Word of God says. The natural man, the man who has not come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, the natural man, the man who has not been caused to be born again, born from above, through the sacrificial death and resurrection of Christ, through the gifts of repentance and faith, that person is spiritually blind. Many people run around the world today claiming to be spiritual beings, but they run around bumping into spiritual walls because they are spiritually blind. Until they turn from their sin, until they put their trust in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation, they grope around the world claiming to be spiritual when they are in fact blind. Only God can give you spiritual eyes to see. Only God can open your eyes to the truth. And Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." No, my friends, if you worship anyone or anything other than Jesus Christ alone, you are not spiritual. You are spiritually blind. And you cannot see the truth. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down, especially here in this country. People here don't bow down to anything, do we? Everybody got up in this giant uproar a number of years ago when the president appeared to bow down before the king of Saudi Arabia. What is our president doing bowing to a king of another nation? Many people were angry about that because Americans don't bow to anybody. And while many people in our country, most of our country would say, our pride is one of the great strengths of our nation, our pride is actually what is destroying this nation. Our pride, our arrogance, our false idea that we're better than the rest of the world. My friends, don't believe the lie that the Islamic world hates the United States because we're a Christian nation. It's not why the Islamic world hates our nation, because our nation is not a Christian nation. Our nation murders millions of babies every year through abortion. Our nation is the hub for various forms of debauchery and sex trades and all kinds of vile, reprehensible acts. Our nation is a nation that has taken prayer out of school, wants to remove the Ten Commandments off all of our buildings, wants to remove Jesus from the conversation in the public square. This is not a Christian nation, my friends. No, the Islamic world doesn't hate the United States because we're a Christian nation. The Islamic world hates the United States because we bring sin to their nation. Because we bring all of our decadence, because we bring all of our depravity, because we bring our sex trade, because we bring our pornography, because we bring our lust for riches, because we bring our love for abortion, because we spread those things all over the world. That doesn't make the Islamic world righteous. It's not. It's a false religion that denies God, that denies Christ. But don't think for a second that Christianity is to blame for Islam's hatred of the United States. They see the United States as the great Satan because of the sin we bring to their people. That's why. And this idea of being a proud country, of being a proud people, of thinking that we're better than everybody else and that everybody should bow to us, God sees as sin. For God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And that's why the Word of God says, the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord loves those who humble themselves before him. The Lord loves those who come to the understanding that they have sinned and offended the holy God of the universe, and they come to repentance, to turn from their sin, and to put their trust and their faith in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. God loves those who bow down before him as King, as Lord, as Master, and as Savior. And if your mindset is, I will never bow down, oh yes you will. For the Word of God says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The question is, what will happen in that millisecond after you bow? Will he usher you into his kingdom, into his love, his peace, his joy, eternal life, because you have turned from your sin and put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Or will he send you to hell for all eternity because of your pride and your arrogance and your lust for life and your love of sin and your hatred of Christ? Oh, you will bow. Either way, you will bow. For every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ has always been God. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ always will be God, and there will be no other gods before him. He is everlasting. He knows the beginning from the end because he created space and time. He is eternal. We are not. And while each of us have a point in time where our life began, our life will continue forever. That doesn't make us eternal, for we have a beginning, unlike Christ who had no beginning. But we are going to live forever. We are not, as some religions teach, going to be annihilated if we're found to be unrighteous. No, we're going to live forever in one of two places, either heaven or hell. Either heaven or hell, my friends. And we don't determine that. We don't decide what our destination is going to be. For salvation is of the Lord, and judgment is also of the Lord. My friends, if you die and stand before God, clothed only in your sin, God will see you as one who has violated his law, and because he is good, he must punish sin, and that punishment is eternity in hell. But thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, in that 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent his Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Fully God and fully man and without sin. Unlike you and me, he never once violated the law of God. He was and he is the sinless Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He lived a perfect, sinless life that we cannot live. In about 33 years into that earthly existence, my friends, he voluntarily went to the cross. He suffered and died a horrific, bloody death he did not deserve, to take upon himself the punishment we rightly deserve for our sins against God. And then 3 days later, he forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave. And he is alive today. And he will return at a time of the Father's choosing. And what God commands of you, my friends, is the same thing he commanded of me 24 years ago, and the same thing he commands of all people everywhere today, and that's that we repent, that we turn from our sin. And by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And he will take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He will forgive your sins, and you will be reconciled to God. You will be in right relationship with Him. And you'll begin to love the things that God loves, and you'll begin to hate the things that God hates, and you will no longer presume upon His forgiveness as if somehow you have earned it or deserved it.
Christ is a scheme that will ruin your life.
You're a liar, sir. You're a liar. But I don't want you to perish either, young man. Turn to Christ to live. Turn from your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. My friends, most of the world hates God like that young man over there, whether he's in his right mind or not. He hates God. But God did not only die for His friends. Jesus Christ did not only shed His innocent blood for His friends, but He shed His innocent blood for His enemies as well. My friends, when Jesus died on the cross, as He was breathing His last, as He was shedding His innocent blood, He said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Jesus did not die for good people, for there are no good people. Jesus died for sinners like you and me. If there was any way we could get to heaven on our own, through our own good works, through our own merit, through our own religion, then there would have been absolutely no need whatsoever for God the Son to take on the form of human flesh and shed His innocent blood on the cross. But the reality is that none of us are good in God's eyes. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are good in God's eyes. So turn to Christ and live. Turn to Christ and live. Young lady, are you all right? Young lady with the bike. Are you okay?
No, she wasn't.
Are you all right?
No.
Did he do that to your eye?
No.
Huh? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Do you want me to call a deputy or something?
No, it's okay. Come on. It's just him. Like, he's just... Hello?
You sure you don't want some help? We live in a violent and wicked world, my friends. There is no hope to be found in this world. There is hope only in Jesus Christ. There is hope only in Jesus Christ, where every sin will be forgiven. Did that just happen to her? No, she's not okay.
No.
I don't know. I don't know. Did this just happen to you? Did your eye, did that just happen?
Do you know that guy? Are you his husband?
Yeah.
So you don't want that charge?
No, 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 this didn't just happen.
Well, if you change your mind, we get to help you. Unfortunately, I didn't see it. I cannot do anything.
I
wish I could see it. I will do something about it.
I understand.
But you change your mind, we're here.
Okay.
But you shouldn't let that happen.
Okay. Thank you.
So we just did that to your eye?
No.
Is that an old injury?
Yeah, this didn't just happen. If it did, I'd have blood everywhere. Like, this is an old injury.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alright. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Okay, thank you.
The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. That's what the Word of God says. Many people would ask, well, if God is good, why doesn't he rid the world of evil now? Why do we have to stay in a world, why do we have to live in a world where men beat women? Where women abort their babies? Where people kill each other over money and politics and religion? Why are there murderers? Why are there pedophiles? Why are there rapists? Why are there these white-collar criminals in high, lofty places bilking people of their life savings just to make themselves richer? Why are there these televangelists on TV who are dressed in the finest clothes with jewelry and planes and cars and saying, if you'll give us your money, God will make you rich, while they're the only ones getting rich? If there is so much evil in the world today, if God is good, why doesn't he just get rid of all the evil? Now that lady who just came by, who had that black eye, it didn't look like it just happened, but I'm confident that the man who was giving her trouble, it was the man that gave her that black eye at some point. That should be dealt with, right? Any man that would assume to physically harm a woman, we want a guy like that punished, don't we? We want a guy like that to go to prison. We want God to convict a person like that. We want God to punish a person like that, don't we? But I have to ask this, and I'm with you. Any man that puts his hand on a woman should get what he gives 10 times over. I am all for that. But my friends, if it is right now, it is 7:36. If at 7:37 God rid the world of evil, where would that leave us? Because God is angry with the wicked, but God does not only see murder as wicked. God does not only see a man who beats his wife as wicked. God does not only see abortion as wicked. God sees lying as wicked. God sees stealing as wicked. God sees taking his name in vain as wicked. God sees lusting with our eyes and with our heart without even carrying out the act. God sees that as adultery. He sees that as wicked. My friends, all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have. So if God were to rid the world of wickedness right now, he would have to rid the world of us too. Because we have sinned against God as well. Maybe we've never driven a knife into someone's back and murdered them, but we've probably hated somebody and thus murdered in our heart. Maybe we've never committed adultery on our spouse, but we've looked at another human being with lustful sexual thoughts and thus committed adultery in our heart. Jesus said, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. None of us can live up to that standard. None of us can live up to that standard. But God doesn't lower his standard simply because we're unable to live up to it. God is holy, God is righteous, God is just, and God is good, and God must punish sin. So my friends, if you want God to rid the world of all evil, of all wickedness, then you are asking God to rid the world of you too, and of me, and of every other human being on the planet, because we've all sinned. We've all sinned. That's why we need God's grace. That's why we need God's mercy, because God is going to be perfect in his judgment. God is not going to turn a blind eye to the guy who beats his wife. God is not going to turn a blind eye to the pedophile. God is not going to turn a blind eye to the murderer. God is not going to turn a blind eye to the televangelist who doesn't represent God but just lines his own pockets with money. God's not going to turn a blind eye to those sins. But God is not going to turn a blind eye to lying or to stealing or to adultery, or to coveting, or to blasphemy, or to the worship of false gods, or to idolatry. God's not going to turn a blind eye to any sin. That's why we need a Savior. And that same God, because there's only one God, that same God who will punish sin, who will at a time of His own choosing rid the world of evil, that same God is also loving and merciful and gracious and kind. In that He provided one way for us to escape His just and His holy wrath. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. How are you? I pray you come to repentance and faith, sir. I don't want you to perish in your sin. I hope you will humble yourself before God. Turn from your sin and put your trust in Christ. My friend, the same God who is angry with the wicked every day, the same God who will punish sin is also loving and merciful and kind, in that He provided only one way for us to receive forgiveness of our sin, and that was through the gift of Himself. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man and without sin. Unlike us, my friends, and I would put myself at the top of the list, unlike us, He never once violated God's law. He could not, because He was and He is the sinless Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He lived a perfect life that we can't live. In about 33 years into His earthly existence, He voluntarily went to the cross. He suffered and died a horrible bloody death He did not deserve to take upon Himself the punishment we rightly deserve. I'm not going to read that right now, but thank you. To take upon Himself the punishment we rightly deserve for our sins against God. And then 3 days later, He forever defeated sin and death when He rose from the grave. And He is alive today. And He will return at a time of the Father's choosing. And my friends, what God commands of us in response is to repent, to turn from our sin, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And all of God's promises are yes and amen. God promises to one day rid the world of all evil. God promises to punish sin. And God also promises to save sinners. But you must come to Him on His terms. And He commands you this day to repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. And He will take your heart of stone and He will give you a heart of flesh, my friends. And He will love you with a real and everlasting love. And your place in heaven will be secured by Him for all eternity. You won't have to work your way into heaven because nobody can. You can't be religious enough to get invited into heaven. Nobody can. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. So humble yourself, my friends. Turn to Christ and live. Turn to Christ and live. And thank you for listening.